Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya. We're going to begin a new chapter. Canto 10, chapter 28, the first text. And see if I can find where it is. There it is. Krishna rescues Nanda Maharaj from the abode of Varuna, chapter 28. Read the chapter summary. This chapter describes how Lord Krishna brought Nanda Maharaj back from the abode of Varuna, and how the cowherd men saw Vaikuntha. The king of the cowherds, Nanda Maharaj, observed the prescribed fast on the 11th day of the lunar month and then considered how to break his fast properly on the 12th day. By circumstance, only a few more minutes remained, and so he decided to take bath at the very end of the night, although astrologically that was an inauspicious time. Thus, he entered the water of the Yamuna. A servant of Varuna, the demigod of the ocean, noticed Nanda Maharaj entering the water at a time forbidden by scripture and took him away to the demigod's abode. In the early morning, the cowherd men unsuccessfully searched for Nanda, but Lord Krishna immediately understood the situation and went to see Varuna. Varuna worshipped Krishna with great and variegated festivity. Afterwards, he begged the Lord to forgive his servant, that's himself, for having foolishly arrested, his assistant, for having foolishly arrested the king of the cowherds. Nanda was amazed to see the influence Sri Krishna exerted in the court of Varuna Dev, and after returning home, he described his experiences to his friends and relatives. They all thought, Krishna must be the personality of Godhead himself, and wanted to see his supreme abode. Thereupon, the omniscient personality of Godhead arranged for them to bathe in the same lake where Akrura would have his vision of the absolute truth. There, the Lord revealed to them Brahmaloka, which is realized by great sages in their mystic trance. Brahmaloka in this case doesn't mean the abode of Lord Brahma. It's the other Brahmaloka, the spiritual realm. So we're beginning with text one. And here instead of Shukadev Uvacha, it's Badarayani, Badarayani, Badarayani. Sri Badarayani said, having worshipped Lord Janardana and fasted on the Ekadasi day, Nanda Maharaj entered the water of the Kalindi on the Dwadasi to take his bath. BBT has no purport. Vishwanath writes, the 28th chapter, that's this one, describes the stealing of Nanda by Varuna, or it's Varuna's assistant, and Varuna's prayers to Krishna. Hearing what happened from the mouth of Nanda, the cowherd men were very surprised. Because of this, Krishna showed them Vaikuntha. Shukadev narrates this pastime because in telling the story of Krishna forgiving Indra for his offense, he remembered how Krishna also forgave Varuna for his offense. Very logical. Not necessarily chronological. Jiva Goswami, having described an astonishing incident out of zeal, that's the Indra pastime, Govardhan, Shukadev begins another story to relate the offense of Varuna, similar to Indra's, showing his bad behavior due to pride in his power, although it was his agent. This story continues till verse 9. That's like what happened. And then the rest. Ekadashi, either short or long, had passed after lasting 6 praharanas, or 18 hours of the day. This is technical. Dvadasi, the day for breaking the fast, had almost passed, with only 6 hours remaining on the present day. Nanda did special worship on waking up according to the rules as the best of devotees. And here's a meaning of Janardana. You know the meaning of Janardana. Janardana means, Ardana means he who is offered prayers, Ardana, by the devotees, Jana. Jana, Ardana becomes Janardana. Constantly with fervor, though Nanda was completely accomplished already, he worshipped the Lord thoroughly because of his fasting. To bathe, he entered the water of the Jamuna, which increases bhakti to the Lord. Nanda went alone, while others bathed in their houses. This shows his eagerness to bathe in the Yamuna. Sanatan Goswami, having described an astonishing incident out of zeal, same language, Shukadev begins another story. It's very same. Yeah, it's exactly the same. Though Nanda was completely accomplished already, he worshipped the Lord thoroughly because of his fasting. To bathe, he entered the water of the Yamuna to increase bhakti to the Lord. Same. Indra had left Krishna and returned to Swarga. But Nanda did not give up Krishna. Having Krishna as his son, he never gave up Bhagavat Dharma. The word too indicates that he bathed for bhakti rather than cleanliness, in keeping with the statement previous that he worshipped the Lord. And Jiva Goswami in Krama Sandarbha repeats what he wrote elsewhere. Here's a reference from Gopal Champu. So you remember what Gopal Champu is, right? It's a writing by Jiva Goswami that makes a interesting literary form of describing Krishna's pastimes. The reference here is Snigdha Kanta. Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta were brahmanas, and they engaged in reciting scripture. Snigdha Kanta and Madhu Kanta. So in the morning recital, Snigdha Kanta began speaking. Ekadasi, the 11th lunar day, was mentioned. Nanda joyfully observed the vow, which fulfilled all desires every fortnight with dedication. Knowing that only a small portion of the Dvadasi remained for breaking the fast, he entered the Yamuna to bathe before the Dvadasi ended, according to a specific rule. Having entered the water, he fearlessly bathed. He began to meditate on Narayana, that was his worshipable deity, praised in the Vedas. From his birth, he had full faith in Narayana, because he attained Krishna as his son by that worship, he was even more inclined to worship him. And text 2. Because Nanda Maharaj entered the water in the dark of night, disregarding that the time was inauspicious, a demoniac servant of Varuna seized him and brought him to his master. And the BBT purport reads, Nanda Maharaj was intent on breaking his fast on Dvadasi day, of which there remained only a few minutes. Thus he entered the water to bathe at an inauspicious time, comma, before the first dawn light. Now, I don't know what the rule is, so if anybody out there wants to know the rule, don't ask me, because I don't know the rule. What was it, auspicious or inauspicious? And if it was inauspicious, what was inauspicious about it? All it says is before the first dawn light. But it was the right time for breaking Ekadasi. Anyway, the servant of Varuna who rested under Maharaj is stated here to be an asura or demon for obvious reasons. First, the servant was foolishly ignorant of Nanda Maharaj's position as the pastime father of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Also, Nanda Maharaj's intention was to carry out the injunctions of the scripture. Therefore, Varuna's servant should not have arrested Nanda on technical grounds that he bathed in the Yamuna at an inauspicious time. Later in this chapter, Varuna himself will say, quote, Ajanata mama kena mudhena. This was done by my ignorant servant who was a fool. This foolish servant did not understand the position of Krishna or Nanda Maharaj or devotional service to the Lord. In conclusion, it is clear that Lord Krishna wanted to give his personal audience to Varuna and simultaneously accomplish other didactic purposes. This is the wonderful pastime. Thus this wonderful pastime will now unfold. And commentary by Vishwanath. One of Varuna's asuric servants brought Nanda Maharaj to Varuna because he, out of ignorance, speculated that Nanda had entered the water at an inauspicious time. He was wrong. However, since Nanda entered the water according to the rules of scripture, this is explained later, the same reference. Agyanata mamakena mudhena. It's mentioned again. Jiva Goswami writes, the servant was, by his nature, not aware of Vaishnava Dharma, and thus is called Asura. The strong demon was suitably protecting the water at a demoniac time. Asurim Velam. Since he was Varuna's servant, Varuna was also at fault. Nanda had disregarded that time, which was usually forbidden for bathing. And Jiva Goswami's Krama Sandarbha speaks something similar. Because Nanda Maharaj entered the water in the dark of night, disregarding that demoniac time, a demoniac servant of Varuna seized him and brought him to his master. Jiva Goswami, this is now translation from Gopal Champu, same section as we read from before. Absorbed in meditation, Nanda, he entered samadhi. At that time, the servants of Varuna, who were roaming everywhere, suddenly approached and took Nanda to the abode of their master. Varuna had produced this splendid abode by his power to obstruct water. It was situated at the bottom of a pool in the Jamuna, within a cavern in the earth. Far out, huh? Wise persons could never imagine that the father of Krishna could be brought there. Nanda always thought that by his good fortune, Krishna had been born as his son. Quote, we see Krishna's excellence, which bestows the bliss of prema, bringing him greater and greater respect, unquote. By the influence of Yogamaya, the assistant in his pastimes, situations like the arrival of Putana had arisen to make him think in this way. Nanda. That thinking this way is, we see Krishna's excellence, which bestows the bliss of prema, bringing him greater and greater respect. He continues, when the servants, this is plural, brought Nanda, dressed in clothing suitable for vows in front of Varuna, Varuna recognized him by his tulsi and lotus garland and understood that he had been meditating on Narayana, extremely frightened. He respectfully put him on an excellent bed furnished with celestial cloth. Understanding that Krishna would not tolerate Nanda being taken away and would come there, Varuna waited at the entrance of his abode in order to see him approaching from afar. Gopal Champu. Pastimes. I remember reading these sections in Krishna book when the Krishna book first came, and my thoughts went to Vyasadeva, who's compiling Srimad Bhagavatam, and Krishna, who is the performer of these pastimes, is showing this demigod, that demigod, the other demigod are subordinate to Krishna. Now, that's not spoken about specifically in the commentary. Certainly, it's a fact. So, here we've been hearing Brahma, Indra, and now Varuna. When Indra was doing his Abhishek, we heard Varuna was present. At least that's what's described in Padma Purana and in the Bhagavatam. Krishna took Indra to a private place, or together they went to a private place. But when demigods are mentioned, it's Varuna, because right behind Brahma is Indra, right behind Indra is Varuna. In multiple references, when Ram received the bow from Parashuram, the bow of Vishnu, he gave it to Varuna. The Varuna is an important demigod. And so Krishna's superiority, or Vidura's accepting that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, kind of takes care of that one. And then other sections that come later where Lord Shiva is subordinate to Krishna, although he, you know, different pastimes where it's shown Krishna's superiority. But the main emphasis here is not recognizing Krishna's superiority over Varuna, but rather the sweetness that is Krishna wanted to give his mercy to Varuna. So he arranged a pastime whereby he could go visit Varuna. And along with, as was said in the purport, multiple diverse purposes were being served. That's, we read in Nectar Devotion, that's one of Krishna's qualities. It comes under clever. Of course, it's part of his expertise, but it's specifically mentioned under clever, that by one activity he accomplishes many things. So, giving pleasure to Varuna, giving the associates of Vrindavan an opportunity once again, open the curtain, see his divinity, close the curtain. But that then resulted, we'll hear their discussion, and there's interesting commentary connected when they start speculating again. Who is this boy? And so Krishna decided, I mean, there's how that flows is nice, but Krishna decided he wanted to show them. So he took them, little boy, took them to show them Vaikuntha. And we heard, we've been discussing this, after he showed Vaikuntha, they forgot everything. So their uncertainty about who he was cleared. And his divinity was revealed. And then the curtain closed. And by Yogamaya, the curtain opened. By Yogamaya, the curtain closed. And then they just forgot everything. We forget things. In Vrindavan, they can't forget things, especially it's influenced by Krishna. Everything happens by Krishna's potencies. Again, to the materialist, that's really clever, you guys, to say it's just Krishna's inconceivable potencies and everything gets whitewashed by Krishna's inconceivable potencies, like anything goes, because it's Krishna's inconceivable potencies. Well, it's true. We don't make up stories and say it's Krishna's inconceivable potency. He does what he does, and he does it by his inconceivable potencies. And that's the nature of Krishna. And in using his inconceivable potencies, he's accomplishing multiple things. He's asserting his divinity. He's giving his mercy to Varuna. He's showing his father his divinity. Then knowing what his father is going to do, tell them everything, because they always did that. They would come back and tell whatever happened. The cowherd boys would, it's described, at the end of each day, The parents of the boys were eager to hear, what did Krishna do today? And they'd tell what Krishna did today. And so they were hearing Krishna book, you know, directly from the boys that observed it. And it was just, how wonderful is Krishna? It didn't disturb their minds. Who is this boy? Oh, Narayan is so merciful to Krishna, he's protecting him, or whatever they thought. He's invested with powers of Narayan, that's what Gargamuni said, so he's like one of us, but he's just like, he's very special amongst us. We're so fortunate, and their love, their intimacy of love, their prema was so strong, the curtain didn't get drawn back. It stayed closed. Even when hearing every day, imagine, every day. Our acharyas describe The principal demons are described in Krishna book, but every day, just before lunch and just before the coward boys came back, every day, two demons. So, because it created a break in the pastime, that go on to the next thing, stop and have lunch, go back to their homes after Krishna kills the demons, and you know. Very enthusiastic to tell them, we know what Krishna did today. Wow. So, this astonishment, rasa, is very prominent in the moods of braja, love, braja prema. I haven't heard any description what it's like in Vaikuntha, because when Narayana displays his opulences of Bhagavan, how do the people regard it? Just like, not astonishment, it's just, it's everyday affair, I guess. At least I haven't read any description how the residents of Vrindavan view. It says, but they glorify, like we heard from Brihat Bhagavatamrita, they like to glorify in standard prayers the personality of Godhead. But you know, depending upon, there's different moods even within Vaikuntha. Some say, oh, that's the way they see different things. But their focus goes to Narayana in Vaikuntha. Primarily, that's the mood. Not Narayana as he manifests his Leela avatars. They focus on Narayana in Vaikuntha. Because their view is he's the source of everything. That's substantially their view. Of course, there's others that don't view like that. Vaikuntha mood. I'm trying to recall the meaning of Badarayani. Anybody know the meaning of Badarayani?
Son of Badarayana, who is Vyasadeva?
Son of Badarayana. Ah, Badarayani is the son. And then Vyas has the name Badarayana because, now I remember something about his birth on that island, Dvipa, was beneath a Badarayan tree. Thus Badarayana was just a name given to him because his birth was on a Badarayan tree. And I don't know what type of tree that is, but that's my memory. Okay, let's see if there's some discussion. Varuna.
Hare Krishna, Guru Maharaj. I'm thinking about Nanda Maharaj being at such elevated level. Still, he is following rules and regulations. Thank you so much for reading the commentary. Clearly mentions he is doing for the bhakti, not for cleanliness or any other purpose. I'm thinking at my level of following is, you know, I was thinking about this Niyamagraha that we just studied in Bhakti Shastri, Upadeshamrita. So either rigidly following that, okay, I want to progress. There may be a hidden, not exactly hidden, the subtle intention to progress in bhakti, but I'm at the center. Or the other way is saying in the name of practicality, this is not applicable for me in my situation, so I won't do it. I just would like to.
Nice reflection. One of the requirements in cultivation of bhakti is assessing again and 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 again. For whom am I doing this? To move from the me-centered to the Krishna-centered. And commonly we'll see it's mixed. Unless we're delusional, it's mixed. And often it's strongly me-centered, but mixed. But that effort of one devotee calls this recalibrating. Looking inside, and where is this feeling I'm feeling, or action I'm taking, or decision I'm making, where is it coming from? And that's a very valuable step in the anartha nivritti, because anartas block our even ability to think of who it's for. So if we continue to exercise who it's for, and or this other exercise of at the end of the day, important decisions that we made, where was it coming from? Is it aligned with our values, or is it over there somewhere? It's just pragmatic. Or so the question, the point that you just brought up is really good. It's what to speak of ourselves, even in the case of Nanda, because he's teaching by example, isn't he? He has followers. But it's not just, I'm doing this so I can teach by example to my followers, the other residents of Braja. But he's a worshiper of Narayana. And he does what he does for the satisfaction of Narayana. That's the bhakti principle. So we don't stop observing things when bhakti becomes manifest. That gives us a nice picture of what's it going to look like when we get there to that, you know, to the goal. We still continue. Not only in Raganuga bhakti, but in Prema bhakti. There's no need for varna and ashram and rules. And still they're followed. For bhakti purpose. Like Arjuna wants to leave the battlefield. And Krishna says, no, you don't have the qualification. Well, what if I get the qualification? Then you'll still perform prescribed duty because you'll be setting an example. But this is not just setting an example. This is bhakti, prema bhakti. So we have a way to go to get to prema bhakti. But the principle is, you stated it very nicely. See if there's some other... Okay.
Gaurachandar Prabhu was asking, compared to Brahma, Indra, Varuna, it appears that Lord Shiva is not bewildered that much, being Shiva Tattva. Is he considered as demigod? He seems to be in a different category.
He's in a different category, and consistently he's called the demigod in Prabhupada's writings. Great demigods such as... Now, in one sense, Brahma is not a demigod, but he's referred to as a demigod because he's not controlling some feature of the material activities. Well, there's one we read in Brahma's prayers that he's overseeing the function of intelligence, but generally speaking, the demigods. Well, Lord Shiva is also overseeing false ego. But that's not the same as what the other activities of the demigods are doing. In any case, he's in his category of his own, Shiva Tattva, not Jiva, not Vishnu. He's his own category. And commonly Prabhupada speaks of him or writes about him as among the demigods, exalted demigods, most exalted. Okay. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.